I used to chase women quite a lot. Things were different back then, you know. It was like you had to go out on the hunt as a man back then, back in the 70s. You had to put a nice splash of Paco Rabanne on. You stand there with your mates. There was no Facebook, none of this nonsense back then. You went in cold. You went in cold. You're there with your mates Friday night. You've had a couple of pints of lager. Got your shirt ironed, jeans pressed. You say to your mates, look, I'm going to go and get them birds over. When I bring them back, don't mess it up. Walk over to them. Evening, ladies. I know it must have hurt when you fell from heaven. Maybe my friends and I could ease the pain by buying you a few drinks. No? Fair enough. Come and we're going. We've only come in here on lesbian night, haven't we? It's very nice that women don't have to worry about this nonsense now being pulled. It's great, isn't it, that they fancy you. You're in a nightclub or something, you're chatting to her. She says, look, shut up. Shut up. I'm going to sleep with your brother. Calm down. Takes you home and uses you. And you wake up in the morning a bit dishevelled. The cat's looking at you. The judgmental cat on the pine dresser. But the worst thing has happened in all the commotion. You've forgotten her name. Now, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I think if you chomped on someone's fanny, you should remember their name, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of a rule of mine. So, go downstairs, go through the post. Thinking. I'm a thinker. Crafty Cockney. Well, let's just have a look here. Oh, I can't call her the occupier. That'd be a bit much. But I'm not so old-fashioned. I don't think if you've slept with someone very quickly, there still might be something there beyond the lust. So you tend to go out for a date, don't you, on the Wednesday night after work. You don't want to mess your weekend up. You go express. Pizza Express, not a hut. Too soon for the hut. Hut comes later. It's got to be express early days. Marbling table, flower. It's all going on. Now she's thinking, this geezer's all right as it happens. He's a bit of a stunner. He's not bad in the bedroom. Then you start proving you've got half a brain and all. She thinks he's a potential boyfriend. Ooh. Ooh, potential boyfriend. Suddenly you're getting this speech halfway through the Four Seasons. Listen, can I assure you, it's not my usual practice to sleep with men as quickly as I happen to have slept with you. And I'm like, relax, homeowner.
A great show for you tonight. We have a fantastic show. Very funny comedians. I know funny. I do very funny. People always ask me who I think is funny. That's the number two question I get asked as a comedian. The number one question I get asked as a comedian is, have you ever died? As soon as you tell someone you're a comedian, first thing they want to know, oh, you ever died? Oh, what's it like when no one laughs? Oh, tell us about the worst gig you've ever had in your life. Please, relive for me, in minute detail, the worst moment of your professional career. Have you ever really died? It's like saying to a doctor, tell us about the last patient you lost. What happened?
With the family crying. I bet they were they? Yeah, yeah.
People are such ghouls. It's the number one question. Have you ever died? Number two question, though, is what makes you laugh? People always want to know that from me. Who do you think is funny? And that's a nicer question. That's more understandable. You know, I make people laugh. People want to know what makes me laugh. In the same ways you might say to your hairdresser, who cuts your hair? Or you might say to someone in an Audi, who do you think drives like a cock? I like that joke. It's a short joke, it's a sharp joke, and also with that joke, I get to spot every Audi driver in the room. I can just see it. pinched expression on your face there. All right, no need to be like that about it. I've done well for myself. It's a very reliable machine. And the fact that I can tell you're an Audi driver by the expression on your face means technically you've just given a form of indication. So well done. Good for you. We knew you could do it. Yeah. Have you ever died? Who do you think is funny? You always get asked the same questions. That's what I don't like doing interviews. I love doing the job. This is great. I love standing here talking to you, though. But doing interviews, it's a necessary evil. It's part of the job. Oh, having to answer questions. And I don't even like watching interviews. You'd rather watch a comedian tell jokes than talk about how they wrote them. You'd rather watch a singer sing songs than talk about their inspiration. You'd rather watch a sports person do their sport. You'd certainly rather watch a sports person do their sport. Come on now. Sports interviews can be turgid affairs at best. And then I hit it with my foot. You mean you kicked it? If you like. They're really interesting. They're really, and I'm not slagging sports people. It takes a great deal of single-mindedness to excel at a sport to a point where people want to interview you about it. But sports people are famous because they're good at sport, not because they're good at talking about sport. That's why you find a sports person who is good at talking about sport, the BBC will cream their knickers over them. We found a woman. She used to ride horses. That's a sport. And she's quite lively and engaging and charismatic. Put her on absolutely everything! Do not let her out of your sight! Even people I'm a fan of. Andy Murray. I love Andy Murray. Britain should be very proud of Andy Murray. He's done a lot to be proud of. He's won Wimbledon. He's an Olympic gold medalist. And he put up with a lot of shit when he was in, what, eighth best in the world? Oh, you bloody loser, you. Done a lot to be proud of. He's won Wimbledon, he's Olympic gold medals, he's magnanimous in victory, he's humble in defeat. He's a big comedy fan. He's been to see me live, I've met him, lovely bloke. But Jesus Christ. I cannot listen to him drone on one more time about how he won, stroke lost, another tennis match. I can't do it. Well, then I hit it to him, and he hit it back to me, and I'm very good at tennis, but he is also very good at tennis. Some days I'm better at tennis than he is, but I think what's happened today was he was slightly better at tennis than I am, and that's maybe why he won the game of the tennis. For God's sake, man! I'm not very sporty, you can probably tell. I like hill walking. Doesn't really count as a sport. I like hill walking and camping. Proper camping, though. None of your glamping bullshit. Glamping. Derivation of the words glamorous and camping. Where you stay in a yurt, which is more expensive than a hotel. What is wrong with you? A lot of people don't realise yurt is a derivation of the words yura and twat. A lot of people don't realise that.
And this is what I'm talking about, the assumption that if you're in a place like that, you obviously are the help. OK, example two, that's it, white people. One more example and then we're moving on, right? I'm on tour in the UK. I'm going up to Leeds. All my team is already up in Leeds setting up the theatre. I'm travelling with my tour manager and best friend, Lila, also a black woman. So I go, you know what? That's Lila. I go, you know what, Lila? Let's not drive. It's a long drive. Let's get a train and go up in comfort. So we rush down to the train station. I buy us two first-class tickets. There's a train leaving, so we jump on the train. Train takes off. And we're walking through the train towards the first-class carriage. We walk into the first class carriage. This white woman is sitting at a table. She looks up, she sees us, and at the top of her voice, she shouts, this is first class! Now Lila goes, what the fuck did you say? And I hold Lila, no, Lila, no, no. I just grab her by her collar, no, Lila, no. No, Lila, no, Lila, no. No. Watch me humiliate this bitch just with my mouth. Come back. So at the top of my voice, I say, thank you, lady. But what was it about us that made you assume that we didn't belong in the first class carriage? She starts to fumble. Everybody on the train just kind of leans out from behind their seats. And she gets flustered. She's like, and then all she could think of was like, I thought you were lost. And I was like, how'd you get lost on a moving train going in one direction, bitch? Now, this woman was not alone. She was with her husband. Her husband was sitting opposite her at the table, same table. But we did not see her husband's face for this entire confrontation because the entire time he was hidden behind the newspaper. Just... His hands never came down. All we saw were his knuckles just gripping that paper. And they were in their 60s. So they'd obviously been married a long time, and he's behind that newspaper going, ah! Nosy big mouth cow! 30 years we've been married, and every day of those 30 years I've said, mind your own fucking business! And now we're both going to get beaten up by these two black boys.
They say it's hard, you know, bringing kids up is difficult. They say kids these days are influenced by these new hyper-violent computer games. And that's nuts, isn't it? If we'd been influenced by the computer games from our childhood, we'd have to grow and go like... Rubbish, wouldn't it? No one would play with that kid with beep, beep. Can I be in your gang? No, you're a bit weird, mate, to be honest. Imagine being influenced by Pac-Man. You'd have to like walk around in a darkened room munching pills and listening to repetitive music. So the younger people laughing and clapping, the older ones going, who is this Pac-Man you speak of? Not one of the rough boys from the estate, is he? There were some rough kids where I live. And they're not being rough, they're just being confusing. You know, you come out of your house, they go, yeah, your mum makes gravy for leopards, innit? Yes, yes, I believe she does. She does a lot of charity work. These are scary kids. Even the dirty old men are scared of these kids. See him turn up in their car, put the window down, like, hello, little boy, do you want a sweet? The kid's like, what sort of sweets have you got? So it'd best be good if you come under here and trouble me with your sweetie talk, right? You don't want any mojo or drumstick rubbish, you get me? You must have a serious sweetie offer for me, boy. Bloke's panic, I was like, well, I've got bonbons, I wasn't sure what to bring, to be honest. Dib dab there, wamba. Wamba, your sweets are rubbish, man, shut up. Nah, wambas used to be big like that. Now they're small, innit? So you're gonna have to do better than a wamba if you want to see my dick, right? Hey, nah, man, look at your car driving a Saab. You got no pride. Get out, you wamba, bitch. Next pervert, please. What kind of sweets have you got, sweaty? What do you mean, Neverland? Yeah. But we live in exciting times anyway, you know. It's very exciting being in London, you know. The Olympics. Yeah. Fantastic. We didn't really want the Olympics. Till we heard France might get it. British people are like, oh no, all that running and jumping. It's not really for us, is it? When is it? No, I'm busy that week. What? France are going to get it? Bollocks, we'll have it. Only in London would we have to have a poster campaign saying, back the bid. No, fuck off, it'll be rubbish. Don't you think that's a bizarre response to that question? Like, would you like the oldest, most historically significant athletic competition the world has ever known, attracting athletes from every known nation on the face of the planet to come here and perform at the peak of their abilities in the very city where you live? Most British people go, where will we park? Because it's all residents round here. There's others going, no, man, the tubes would be packed, you get me? People getting on the underground with, like, javelins and shit. No. Coming in an escalator with a shot put, health and safety, boy. And there's a whole other section of British society going, you what? The Olympics? Let a load of foreigners in? Once you can run and jump and swim, you let him in, you'll never fucking catch him. Huh?
place will be overrun with Lycra refugees. You're having a laugh, ain't you, mate? They'll peel them little numbers off their jackets. You watch them, they're sneaky. I read about it in the Mail.
I get concerned about the message that we send, you know, young women a lot on TV and, you know, in the media, because right now we live at the height of materialism, where it's suggested to young girls especially that you can indulge the most depraved man as long as he's rich. This is evidenced by the franchise 50 Shades of Grey. Has everybody here seen 50 Shades of Grey or read it? Okay, some of you are shaking your heads. Fine. I will give you a quick plot summary of 50 Shades of Grey. I will be paraphrasing in this monologue, by the way. Is everybody ready? Yeah. Here is 50 Shades of Grey, abridged by Dame Baptiste.
Hi, I'm a pretty naive American young girl who doesn't know about sex, even though I have access to the internet and my friend's a journalist. Mr. Grey, you seem so mysterious and rich. Can I interview you?
That's right, baby. I am mysterious, and I'm rich as hell. Can I put a pineapple in your ass?
I mean, some other stuff happens, but that's pretty much it. It's fair. Unfortunately, we live in a time where, you know, materialism is encouraged, you know? Do you guys remember the song No Scrubs by TLC? Yeah, great song for the ladies. Not so fun for the unemployed male. That was not a fun song to hear when I was younger. You remember how that song used to go? If you live at home with your mama, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. If you live at home with your mother, they're talking to you. What if I'm a full-time carer? I'm supposed to leave my mother lumbered with bedroom tax, then go live with a bunch of strangers and pay somebody else's mortgage, then have those strangers question my life choices, which my mother already does, but I get rice and peas when she does it. Sitting in the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. Sitting in the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I'm sorry, if me and my friends are concerned about our carbon footprint, I'm not entitled to find love? If you don't have a car and you're walking, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. If you don't have a car and you're walking, they're talking to you. So we're supposed to leave our houses in four separate cars, knowing full well petrol prices are at £1.25 per litre in some stations. Then if you go into London, you're paying a congestion charge four times. If you're going out of London, you're paying a toll charge four times. Then wherever we get when we're going, then you've got to pay a parking charge four times. And if we're all driving, then guess what we can't do? We can't drink, because when you all take separate cars, there's no designated driver, TLC. Which means when we finally do get to the club, because of all the traffic, because there's four cars adding to that traffic, we've got to drink water and sparkling water, then pay club prices for fruit juice. So I'm paying £7.25 for a cranberry juice, and we've been planning this night for months, TLC!
It's nice seeing people out, man. We've had a weird few years, innit? There's been a lot going on, the pandemic. You know, monkeypox, World War III. Right. No, World War III scared me, you know. I was terrified when that Russian bloke came on TV, right? When he came on TV and he was like, World War III has begun, right? I lost it, right? I was so scared, right? Because I looked around at the men of my generation, right? And I was like, could we fight a war? Could the men of this generation fight a war, right? And I came to the conclusion, no, we are done for. We're finished, bruv, right? Not me, I'm a bad man, but some of you, like, do you know what I mean, right? No, we can't fight a war, brother. You mad? They will take half of us out with gluten. Like, do you know what I mean? Be real, man. They don't even need to drop bombs. They'll just drop blue top milk over the front lines, right? Just see all of us just shitting everywhere, like, crying, like, where's that getting the news?
miniature toilet. Shut up, it's a war, bro!
It's good to see you lot out, man. That whole thing was scary, man. Do you know the scariest part of that thing? The Mayor of London came on TV, right? And he was like, London is well placed in case of a nuclear attack. I was like, are you out of your goddamn mind? There's leaves on the track and we're done for. Forget a nuclear winter, we can't survive autumn, bruv, right? It's nice seeing you guys out, man. We've had a weird few years, man. Monkeypox is on the horizon, right? There's gonna be no anti-vaxxers when it comes to that one, is there? Right? As soon as you see a massive pimple that big on your face, you're like, yeah, inject it, bruv. Do what you want, bruv. The thing with COVID, we had everything in it, right? Like, people were talking about the vaccine. Like, there was people on both sides that I didn't understand. Like, I don't care if you're vaccinated, just have a good reason, because I didn't get both sides of it. You know, you had pro-vaxxers and you had anti-vaxxers. Are there any anti-vaxxers in? They're louder on Facebook, innit? Like... those anti-vaxxers are loud on Facebook, innit? Like, Bill Gates, he's taking your soul. You lot of sheeple. All right, shut up, man. I don't get the pro-vaxxers either. You know, like, the way they're like, there's absolutely no reason not to get vaccinated. There's absolutely no reason. It's like, of course there is. There's reasons for some of the most horrendous things in the world, like listening to R. Kelly's music. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are reasons. What, you're going to tell me there's no reason to listen to R. Kelly's music? Are you mad? Right, what, you want me to never watch Space Jam again? Are you out of your mind, bruv, right? Listen, there's reasons to listen to R. Kelly's music. As much as you want to deny it, there's reasons, right? Say you're in a Squid Games-type scenario, right? And the challenge is to play a song that a diverse audience is going to sing along to, yeah? I don't know about you lot, yeah, but I'm picking Ignition, innit, right? Don't go home and say, I told you to listen to R. Kelly, by the way. He's a piece of shit. Don't listen to him, right? Nice. I don't care whether you're vaccinated or not, if I'm being honest, right? As long as you have a good reason, right? As long as you've got a good reason, I don't mind what you want to do with your life, man. It's your life. Do what you want, right? And I'll tell you what I mean, because I've got a lot of friends, man, like, that are, like, anti-vaxxers and stuff as well. Like, I was talking to a couple of my mates about it, right, when it was all going on, and I was like, bro, you're going to get vaccinated? He was like, no. I was like, why not? He's like, no. Come on, bro, man, that's not a reason, man. Just talk to me, man, let me know. He's like, no, you're gonna turn it into a joke. And to be honest with you... wonderful foresight on his behalf, right?
Like... it's hard to be a woman, you know, like, a lot of women right now, we're posting naked or almost naked pictures online to show how confident we are. And in all the comments, other women will be like, you are so brave. Well, I really just think that means not a model. Although it's not brave, there's no soldier looking down at that picture being like, oh, what a brave lady. You know, a man posts a naked picture, he just loses custody of his kids. And if showing your weird body's brave, then the guy that masturbated in front of me on the subway is very brave. Because he had a real weird body. And he was making weird faces. He might be the bravest man I know. But that's the thing, we're supposed to care so much about our bodies as women, you know? And there's even campaigns that we should love our bodies and be confident in our bodies. Or we could just stop caring about it. Because you know who doesn't care about their bodies? Men. You know what men are? Successful. Men are presidents, men are CEOs. You've never heard a CEO go, I want to get profits up and keep costs down and love me for me. 3 p.m. we're going to have a meeting about how I can accept the fact that I have my mother's thighs. You know who should care about their bodies? Men. You have weird bodies, men. You're gross. Your balls are gross. And see that weird bag of stuff between his legs. What is it? It's like when you go to a haunted house and you stick your hand in a jar, you're like, please be grapes. Balls seem like a real god whoopsie. It's like when you're putting together furniture and you got a couple leftover screws and you're like, well, those were supposed to go somewhere. I guess I'll hang them from a satchel. Even the name sounds like a mistake. say, what are you getting called?
Scrotum.
Okay. This is how you knew God didn't care about balls at all. Everything else important, he covered in bone. Balls, he was like, let them fly. You are so lucky we get our faces near them. If a woman puts your balls in her mouth, you should pay her a lot of money. And not in like a prostitute way, in like a, I don't know how else to say thank you. This is a very nice thing you just did to me. And you didn't get any pleasure out of it. There's not a single woman that's like, that's what does it for me. You were more of a saint than Mother Teresa for that. There's no way she ever did it. Over. I had to put paint on my face just to leave my home. And you guys get to walk around those wrinkly, dangly bags of crap. You should have to put makeup on them. Or at the very least, googly eyes. That'd be better or worse, it'd be fun. He's happy, he's sad. He lost his boner. Calling our boobs saggy. Your balls are saggy. You should wear a bra. And you make it fancy. All those women clapping, they meant yours.
I don't know if you don't know this, but people talk a lot of crap about white people. They do. People like, always. Because, you might be a bit upset by this. We had a meeting. Obviously, you wasn't invited. I love when we said we had a meeting and liberal white people go, ooh, we should send them a quiche. How nice. We had a meeting and people were saying some stuff about white people and I defend white people. I was like, don't you talk about my white people like that. Don't you do it. Someone stood up in the meeting and said, white people are more racist than any other race. I said, you shut your mouth, sir. That's not true. White people ain't more racist than any other race. It's just the white people that are racist are just the best, you know? But when white people get racist, they go for it, man. You know, they start a political party, they go on a march, they join the police force, like they just get the job done. I realize this stuff, man. I think a lot now, because I'm getting old. I'm old school, I'm old boy now, you know? I just turned 25, right? Listen. Listen, the oldest I've been, deal with it. I can't just go in some time machine and relate to you. I'm sorry. But I like getting older. Don't we like getting older old school? We love it, don't we? We love getting older. Because as you get older, you start to accept stuff about yourself. You do, you have to, you know? Like, it took me 25 years to realize that this is my face. Yeah? This ain't getting any better, man. Because when I was younger, I always wanted to be better looking, you know? I need to be crazy good looking. I just wanted to be good looking enough to cheat, right? No, hear me out. I don't want to cheat on my girlfriend. I love my girlfriend sometimes, okay? But I need something to say in an argument that sounds believable once in a while, right? Like, look, I have Tinder, and my girlfriend knows I have Tinder and doesn't even care. She doesn't care. She's like, good luck. Yeah? I don't respect my facial abilities. And Tinder is disgusting, but amazing at the same time. I love it, I hate it, I don't know. I don't know, because Tinder's great. Because what I love about Tinder is it will make you realize some social stuff about people, you know? Like, I was on Tinder the other day, right, and I'm flicking through the profiles, because I'm a scumbag. Right? So I'm flicking through the profiles, and I see this one profile, right, and every picture was just a lady with her titties out, right? Just, that's what titties sound like in my head, because I'm 12, do we, right? Yeah, yeah. She had her titties out. And in the description, it just said, any dick, any time. And I was like, wow, all right. You know your market, I like it, right? So, show my girlfriend the profile. My girlfriend looks at the profile and goes, oh, my God, what a whore. I said, what, babe? No. There is too much slut-shaming in this world. She is no hoe. She is a revolutionary. Confusing, right? I'm gonna explain to you why. Like, you gotta understand, everything in this world has a price. Everyone and everything has a price. And in this world where everything has a price, the price of vagina is very high, okay? Listen, if it was on the stock market, it would beat oil and gold, right? But listen, I ain't just giving women no number. Men, we have a number as well. But we got dick, and dick ain't worth shit, you know what I'm saying?
You don't just have dick.
You got to back that up with some collateral, you know? You got to have a dick and a personality, dick and a job, dick and a life plan, right? Listen, I could have a warehouse full of penis, and it wouldn't be worth as much as a picture of a pussy, right? It's worth it. So when she said any dick, any time, she just crashed the whole pussy economy, you know what I'm saying? She made a credit crunch of vagina. She gave vagina back to the working class man. She's the Karl Marx of pussy, is what I'm trying to say, guys.